Your main goal should not be the blessing you're looking for. That's the fruit of what you're after.
Dr. Tony Evans says we're often too likely to put the gift ahead of the giver.
Folk want God to give them their blessing, but they don't necessarily want the God who blessed them, because when they get their blessing, you don't see them no more.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Crying out to God for revival can seem very spiritual, but today Dr. Evans explains why there's something we should want even more desperately. Let's join him.
1 Samuel 7 is the story of Israel turning back to God. It's a story about revival. Fundamentally, revival is God's return in his manifest presence to his people. This is a story coming out of a time of great pain. The book of the Judges, where every man did what was right in his own eyes. Everybody had their own idea. It says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. God wasn't doing much talking. God wasn't saying much to people. And that's because there was a great breach, a great distance between God and his people because of their constant rebellion against him. Through a series of events, the ark was returned to Israel. And what that meant symbolically was that the presence of God had now returned. God was now in the neighborhood again. For 20 years, they had been needing to hear a word from God. They went day after day, week after week, month after month, for 20 years, desperate for God to do something. There's some folks in here who've been waiting on God a long time. You've been needing him, wanting him. You've been lamenting for him. That is mourning, crying, desiring to hear a word from God. It is our prayer that you position yourself for that word. For that word that has your name written on it, designed to address you where you live, in the circumstances that you face, where you need to hear a definitive, clear word from God. God was now in the neighborhood. The Ark of the Covenant, his symbolic presence, had arrived among his people, and they cried because they were desperate. Then Samuel, verse 3, spoke to all the house of Israel. It applied to everybody listening to the sermon. If you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Asherah from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord, and serve him alone, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. There are a bunch of folk in here today who are having trouble with the Philistines. A Philistine is an enemy. It's anything out there that keeps you captured, trapped, tricked, travailed. It's that thing that won't leave you alone. You see, because when you read the story, the Philistines keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back, oppressing them. There are people here today living under oppression because the Philistines won't leave you alone. Life has grabbed you by the throat and is jerking you around. And you are lamenting, you are crying out that God does something. But you're not getting a word back. In our solar system, we have nine planets in our solar system. Furthest away is Pluto. It's in our solar system, but it's a long way off. You can go to Pluto any time of the year, any day of the year, and you're going to freeze to death. It's cold 24/7. And the reason Pluto is cold 24/7 is it lives far away 24/7. Its distance from the sun keeps it cold, although it's located in the solar system. Mercury is piping hot 24/7. Mercury is the closest planet to the sun, So it's hot all the time. And the reason that it's hot all the time is it stays close. Yeah. Mercury never leaves close proximity to the sun. So if you tried to get the mercury, you'd burn up before you got in the vicinity because it's just too hot. Now, Mercury's in the solar system. Pluto is in the solar system, but they're not the same in the system. Because while all of them are in the system, they do not share the same proximity to the center of the system, which is the sun. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you're in the system. If you've come to faith in Christ, you're in the system. You're in the scenario. But the question is your location in the system. Because some here are Pluto Christians. You're cold all the time. All the time you're mean. All the time you're angry. All the time you're defeated. All the time you're losing. All the time you're depressed. All the time you're discouraged because your placement in the system is too far off. Now, there are other Christians who are here who are hot all the time. They are consistent with the joy of the Lord being their strength. They are rarely under the circumstances. They find themselves walking on the circumstances. They are overcomers and more than conquerors and know what it feels like that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's because you're a Mercury Christian. That is, you keep your proximity close to the sun so that hotness and being on fire is your normative way of operating. I would probably say most are neither Pluto Christians or Mercury Christians. Most are Earth saints. Because there's something about Earth. Earth is seasonal. So you got a winter time and you got a summer time and you got a fall time and you got a spring time and you kind of go with the season. So one Sunday you on fire from God. Another Sunday you don't want to hear God's name. One Sunday you're in the Word. Another Sunday you don't want to spend time with Him. Why? Because situations have rotated you in a seasonal circumstance. What Samuel says here will turn every Christian into a Mercury saint. Because notice, the ark is there. The presence of God has arrived. The problem is not that God is not near. The problem is the people are far. He says, Samuel spoke to the house of Israel, if you return to the Lord. God has already returned to you. The ark is here. If you return to the Lord. You say, but I have returned. I'm in church. That's like saying I'm near the ark. Let's define what he means by return. He says, you must return to the Lord, and how must you do it? Here it is. Remove the foreign gods and the Asherah from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him alone. Then he will deliver you. You're going to be going to God for God to intervene in your situation, to deliver you. For some, you're going to go to God for financial deliverance. Others are going to go to God for relational deliverance. Others are going to go to God for physical deliverance. Others are going to go to God for emotional deliverance. Others are going to go to God for career deliverance. You're going to go to God to do something and to intervene in your circumstances. And that's fine to go to God for that. If you have removed the foreign gods. Now, wait a minute. In verse 2, we just saw they were lamenting after the Lord. They were crying, weeping, wailing. So evidently, tears are not enough. They were sad, but it's not enough. Getting emotional about your need for God is nice, but it's not enough. He says you must return to God, and the way you return to God, he says, is by removing the idols. That raises the question, because I know somebody here thinking, well, that doesn't apply to us. Well, let's define an idol. An idol is an unauthorized source to meet your needs. The moment you go to a, watch this now, an unauthorized source, something God has not approved, to address a need in your life, the Philistines, but you go to an unauthorized source to do it, you have brought another God into the equation. Many of us will cancel God's deliverance of the Philistines because we're going to keep another God in the equation. That cancels him. He says you are to serve the Lord your God alone, and then you get the blessing. He will deliver you. Your main goal should not be the blessing you're looking for. Now, the blessing is important. The deliverance from the Philistines, whatever that is, that's important, and you want that. But that's not what you're after. That's the fruit of what you're after. He says, if you return to the Lord, then the Lord will deliver you. Now, here's what most people want. They want the deliverance without the return. When Israel was delivered from Egypt, you know, that's deliverance. He said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, we call that their destiny. But there's a great statement made, and you don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, here's the statement is made. Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh, and they make the statement. They said, God told us to tell you to let his people go. And then he says this, watch this, that they may worship me in the wilderness. Wait a minute now. I thought we were going to let God's people go so they could get to the promised land. Not yet. Before they get to Canaan, and after they leave Egypt, we're going to develop them in the wilderness. And the way we're going to develop them in the wilderness is I'm going to put them in a situation to learn to put me first, to learn to trust me, to learn to walk with me, so that when they get to the promised land, they won't forget me. See, the problem today is folk want God to give them their blessing, but they don't necessarily want the God who blessed them. And you know that's true, because when they get their blessing, you don't see them no more. Because now they really got what they were looking for, and they weren't looking for God, they were looking for his deliverance. So the sons of Israel, verse 4, remove the Baals and the Asherah and serve the Lord alone. Baal and Asherah, that's like a husband and wife God team. They were the fertility gods. Because they didn't just have idols to have idols. They had idols because they were hoping those idols would do something. In other words, they didn't fully trust God, so they brought in some just-in-case gods. The people made a decision that day to return to the Lord, which meant removing the idols. Any unauthorized person, place, or thing that you use to meet needs in your life, even if the needs are legitimate. Okay, so they did what God asked. They had a solemn assembly because he called them all together. Samuel says in verse 5, gather all of Israel to Mizpah. That was the place of gathering for revival and renewal. And I will pray to the Lord for you. They gathered to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And here it is, fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. How did they sin against the Lord? By including other gods. That's how they sinned. Now, it reflected itself in a lot of actions of sin, but the essence of sin was they were looking outside of the true God to meet their needs by bringing in other gods. And Samuel judged. He made a judgment on the sons of Israel at Mizpah. So now they're right before the Lord. They have returned to the Lord with fasting. They've given up a craving of the body. Why? Because they were so desperate for God. They were willing to give up food or television or whatever it happens to be that will keep you from, listen, an unharried time in God's presence. Yeah. Have you ever noticed how rushed it is when you try to spend time with God? You ever notice that? You ever notice how it gets interrupted? Yeah. How you get distracted? He says, when they gathered together to get all this stuff straight, verse 7, now when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the sons of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. When Israel got serious, trouble came. there was a disruption taking place. Here they are, serious about getting right with God, and now the enemy is trying to disrupt it. Why? Because the enemy knows how powerful it is. When the people of God get serious about God to return to God, he's up against something now. He's up against the fight of his life. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We are needing deliverance in various ways, all of us, by God. And the enemy wants to disrupt. He is going to seek ways to distract, to disrupt, to mess up an unharried time in God's presence. Why? Because he knows what that will produce. It will produce the deliverance you've been looking for 20 years. Prayers get answered. You're not just praying some vague prayer with some vague meaning. No, prayers got answered. It says, and the Lord heard him. After 20 years, the Lord heard him. Why? Because the people had returned to the Lord by getting rid of illegitimate acts that were designed to meet needs apart from God. So the Lord answered him. How did the Lord answer? Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, verse 10, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but, somebody say but. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them so that they were routed before Israel.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll talk about the spiritual lessons we can learn from the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. Right now, though, he's here with an important thought to share with us. Dr. Evans?
The bread and butter of the Urban Alternative is our radio outreach. We have launched all over this nation new stations. Many people don't realize, however, that we have to buy the time and it costs us to service you through these radio stations. So if you're blessed over the radio by this ministry, would you keep us on the air through your generous financial support?
A lot of people listen to The Alternative every day, so you may be thinking somebody else is going to step up and meet that need. But we actually hear from a very small percentage of our listening audience. So every gift, including yours, is incredibly important. That's why if you contact us by Thursday and make a contribution of any amount, we'd like to say thanks by sending you a CD copy of Tony's current series, Messages of Hope. Again, this special offer is about to run out, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org right away for details on Messages of Hope. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. I'll repeat that information for you later on after part two of today's message and this.
If you're like most Christians, there are people in your life who know you but may not know Jesus. You really want to do something about that, but don't feel equipped to share your faith effectively. In other words, maybe if you knew more, you could do more. Well, that's where the Tony Evans Training Center comes in. It's an online Bible school with classes that'll take you deep into the most important core concepts of the faith. You can start with our free introductory course on evangelism, then move on to subjects like spiritual warfare, marriage building, maturing in the faith, and many more. The content is challenging, but you can move through it at your own pace anytime you're online. There's also lots of custom content from Tony and an online forum where you can get your specific questions answered. Go to TonyEvans.org and follow the link to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone.
Tell God what you want him to do. Because they cried out to the Lord, save us from the Philistines. So they told God what they wanted God to do. But let me tell you what you don't want to tell God. How to do it. Tell God what you want him to do. Leave him alone about how he does it. Because his ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how different he is than you. You simply return to the Lord, tell him about the deliverance you desire, and then let him come down and invade the situation and cause havoc to the scenario. It says, and when Israel went out, verse 11, to Mizpah, they pursued the Philistines. Wouldn't it be nice if your problems start chasing you and you start chasing it? It said they ran after the enemy. Wouldn't it be nice for you to have the ball on your side of the line and you play offense? Say, come on, come on, okay, come on, come on. Let's get it on. Let's run. Like David, it says he ran to Goliath. Why? Because he understood the battle is the Lord's. It's not mine. He understood that he positioned himself so that he could take the offense against the problem and go get it rather than it get them. And they pursued them. They set up a stone. They called it Ebenezer. That means the Lord has helped us. I believe at the end of this year, somebody gonna test the Lord helped us. The Lord didn't help me. The Lord didn't come through for me. The Lord has blessed me. But I just didn't get the blessing from the Lord. I met the Lord of the blessing. You're going to be able to testify. And here's the good. Look, here's the sweet part. Look, the cities, verse 14, which the Philistines had taken from Israel, were restored to Israel. From Ekron even to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the land of the Philistines. So there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now watch this now. You in for a double blessing. Blessing number one is the blessing you asked for. He said, deliver me or deliver us from the Philistines. God created this thunder, confused the enemy, and delivered them from the Philistines. Now, that's the blessing you asked for. But when you read verse 14, they got bonus blessing. Because it says they got what they didn't ask for. It says God not only delivered them from the Philistines, but went historical on them. Verse 14 says, God went back and got back the territory that had been lost years earlier and taken over by the enemy. Here's the good news when you return to God. He'll not only answer your prayer, but he'll go historical on you. He'll go back and give you Joel chapter 2. Which says he can give you back the years that the locusts have taken away. Some of us have lost months and days and weeks and years. We've gone from this situation to that situation. We've missed opportunity and benefits, and we wish we could do turn back the hands of time. But you can't turn back the hands of time. But what you can do is let God go back. Grab time and bring it back up here and restore what was stolen from you. It says he will give you back the territory that the enemy has stolen. That's good news that I can get what I asked for and I can get what I lost. That's good news. He says, return to me and I will return to you. Y'all remember Jack and the Beanstalk? Jack was a little poor boy who lived with his poor mama, who was a widow, in a little cottage. Jack had a cow. A peddler came along and offered to exchange the cow for some beans. Jack makes the exchange and trades off his cow, which they use for milk, for beans. Jack plants the beans. The bean becomes this incredible beanstalk that rises from the ground, goes through the clouds into the heavens. Jack sees this stalk go up that high, and he doesn't understand how that bean could get that big and grow that tall. He had to climb the beanstalk. Jack begins to climb the beanstalk. Goes through the clouds because it's so high. Gets to the top of the beanstalk and there's a castle. How can there be a castle at the top of a beanstalk? The fairy comes along and says to him, this castle used to belong to a knight and his wife and they had a little baby boy. But a giant came along, killed the knight, making the mother a widow. And she had to be relocated with her baby boy. And that baby boy is you, Jack. That mother is the widow of the knight. He said that the giant took everything that belonged to the knight and his widow and the baby boy and kept it for himself in this castle. Jack said, you mean everything in this castle is mine? everything in this castle belongs to me? He said, yes, but it's in the hands of the enemy. It's in the hands of the giant. Jack snuck inside the castle, and he saw a hen that laid golden eggs. Jack said, that's my hen laying them golden eggs. Now the giant sensed something was wrong. He said, Fifa, fo-fo. I hear the blood of an Englishman. He said, whether living or whether dead, I'll grind his bones into bread. But he couldn't find Jack because Jack had hidden. When the giant went to sleep, Jack stole a hen, walked down the beanstalk, and took the hen to the mother. The next day, Jack went up there again, saw the giant count bags of money. Jack said, that's my money. Jack waited till the giant went to sleep, took all his money back, came down the tree, gave it to his mother. Jack went back up the next day, and Jack just kept grabbing stuff that the enemy had stolen and brought it back down and gave it to his mother. The last time Jack went up, Jack walked into the castle, and the giant saw him. The giant came after him. Jack ran, got on the beanstalk, hurried down the beanstalk. The giant was coming after him. Jack took an axe, chopped the bottom of the beanstalk. The beanstalk fell over. The giant broke his neck. The giant was dead, and everything that the enemy had stolen was now recovered back to Jack. All because there was a beanstalk that had been planted that grew up. The Bible says in John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the true vine. If you learn to climb up on Jesus, who came down to earth and went up to heaven so you could have back what the enemy has stolen away from you. If you stop staying on earth and make your way up to the heavens, you'll discover that the enemy has your stuff up there. But you now live in heavenly places, so you can go up there and get it. And then you can say to the enemy, Fifa, fo-fo, I got the power of the only begotten Son. You can make your claim to what the enemy has stolen from you.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about how we can restore and refresh our relationship with God in a lesson from his current series, Messages of Hope. Remember, all 6 full-length CDs in this collection are yours with our thanks when you make a contribution of any size toward Tony's ministry, but only if you contact us before time runs out on Thursday. Just log on to TonyEvans.org for the details or call us at 1-800-832-22. I'll repeat that for you in a moment. But right now, Dr. Evans is here with a special invitation for you.
If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do that right now. Simply go to Him and acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that you're transferring your trust to Him alone because of His death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. And if you will go to Him for salvation, He promises to give it to you free of charge just for the asking.
Learn more about what all that means and why it's so important. Visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. Tony has a quick video that explains it all, and you'll find some free follow-up resources there as well. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Imagine how different life could be if we devoted more attention to how we are than we did to how we look. Well, next time, Dr. Evans will take a look at moving from vanity to victory. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.